My guest today is Joe Eames. Joe, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
It's great to meet you. I just saw your course like a week ago on your Angular for newbies.
On Thrillsight?
I can't remember the title of it, but it was 100 level Angular, kind of the value proposition for Angular. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot of front end development myself by getting back into it after several years absence, and I'm surprised by how much has happened in the last few years.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's there's all these different frameworks are popping up. Some have risen to the top and then dropped off. Is that a good thing?
You know, it's hard to say. I think it is a good thing. I think that it's a really good fact that we've seen a whole lot of experiments going on in the JavaScript world. New frameworks coming up, people trying to do things their own way, a different way. What their vision is for how things should work, and the ones that are really great tend to survive, and the ones that aren't tend to die.
That all sounds great.
It's great.
But as a developer, it's a little bit intimidating.
Oh my gosh,
this fire
hose
of information that's coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard as a developer. So I think front-end developers especially have to be willing to put up with that sort of churn, right? Now, enterprises, you got a lot of enterprises that are out there, and they're thinking, we can't have this kind of churn, so you got to be a little bit more careful when you're in the enterprise and you're going to do some front-end stuff, which framework you got to choose. But there's a lot of safe bets out there. Google and Facebook are behind a couple of big frameworks now.
Okay.
So even if popularity dies off, at least you can trust that the product will be around for a long time.
Well, that's always the thing. Do I bet the farm on this framework that has all the features that I need, and then all of a sudden something else comes along, and I won't use the word it replaces it, but it becomes the next cool thing.
Right.
And I don't know, has that happened to you?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, both in front-end development and out of front-end development, right? I'm sure you've experienced that many
times. I have,
times.
But it's much faster on the front-end.
It is. It's crazy fast on the front-end. You start using something like, all of a sudden there's the new hotness. Grunt came out, and everybody loved Grunt for build systems. Then all of a sudden Gulp came out, and people are saying, Grunt's not so cool anymore. Now Gulp.
Survive with this Grunt thing.
And now it's Webpack. Everybody loves Webpack. And Grunt, Gulp, that's for losers.
That's passe.
Total passe.
We're not losers.
No,
come on.
Not at all.
He's kidding.
You know, and it's silly because it's not at all true. Like, Grunt and Gulp are awesome products. They're absolutely awesome products. But you got this bleeding edge, and the bleeding edge actually has a lot of sway and influence and a lot of voice. And so when they're moving on to new products, everybody else is reeling, looking at what's going on. But the reality is the good products that are out there are still good products and will be for a long time. Grunt and Gulp are actually used far more than Webpack is. But everybody's hearing about Webpack, for example.
I was a consultant for many years. And that was a message I gave out was that, like for WebForms, for example, MVC came out. And people thought, well, is WebForms dead? Right. Should I migrate my WebForms to MVC?
Right.
And my advice was absolutely not. I loved MVC. I thought it was great. Once it came out, I immediately started writing everything MVC. Mm-hmm. But migrating things that work and are stable and are well tested, don't do it.
Right.
it's not worth it in 99% of the cases.
Yep.
Same thing as if you're using Knockout and now or Backbone, the things that were popular a year or two ago, and now Angular or something else has come out that's maybe not.
Oh, and then Angular had its quick day, now it's Angular 2.
Angular 2 is, apparently there's no easy migration path.
No. That's a great example. There's a lot of enterprises that have finally adopted Angular just to find out Angular 2 is going to be released and it's not backwards compatibility. There's no backwards compatibility, so what are they going to do? Right? And I tell these people, hey, there's nothing wrong with writing your Angular 1 app, keep it going. It's the web is backwards compatible. They will never break the web.
Right.
So Angular will run. Your Angular 1 app is going to be running on the web in 15, 20 years. Yeah. You don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason not to be building an Angular 1 app. But if it's time to build a new app, then, hey, go out and consider some of the other frameworks that are out there and look and build the best product.
Now, you're a teacher, so you're actually trying more frameworks than most people, I think. But do you have favorites? As of August 2015.
I will still say that I think Angular 1 is my favorite, and there's a big reason for that. I'm a huge fan of engineering and software craftsmanship.
Okay.
And if you happen to listen to the great keynote that Bob Martin gave here at the conference, he talked about craftsmanship a lot.
Uncle Bob.
Mm-hmm. I love Uncle Bob. Yeah. He's a fiery personality, but I really like him. But I'm a big fan of those things. Testability, pairing, test-driven development, huge fan of those. Angular was built from the ground up to be testable, which is why it's my favorite. There's plenty of other reasons why there's other great frameworks out there, and so if you happen to be in my boat where you think testability is the number one thing, or at least one of the top priorities, then I would say highly recommend Angular 1. But there are other great frameworks out there. React has some really cool ideas. Angular 2 is adopting a lot of similar ideas.
I've heard React
ideas.
Is very fast. That's
very fast, yep. But they've got a lot of functional principles. Okay. And you can use, if you use immutability or immutable data structures or observable data structures in React, then you actually have O of 1 performance on your change detection, which is a really big thing. Angular 2 is actually very similar. Both React and Angular 2 are kind of inspired by a lot of the same principles.
I see.
So those are great frameworks, but even Backbone nowadays, you can pick up Marionette and put Backbone together and have a nice app.
Okay.
A lot of people, again, like you said, people are saying, oh, this particular framework is passe, but Backbone is an extremely popular framework. There's a ton of code out there. It's existing and people are still running and maintaining, so I don't think you're making a mistake to use something that was popular. If you pick a fringe framework, that might be a mistake just because there's so little about it that you might have a lot of trouble trying to figure out how to solve problems in it. But the popular ones are great. Aurelia has just come out,
so
right?
So Aurelia is an interesting one because Rob Eisenberg was on the Angular team,
yeah,
and he left, and he's been a little bit critical of the practices that the team has done.
Mm-hmm.
And although, what's your take on that?
Well, I have no visibility into the Eternals, so I wouldn't know whether or not his points are valid or not. I'm sure they obviously are to him, but I will say that the Aurelia framework looks like a good framework. I actually wrote a little demo app that he took and wrote a Aurelia article, blog article about where he rewrote the app in Aurelia, and you can see how slick Aurelia is, how much it gets rid of all the boilerplate, which I think is very cool.
Okay.
On the other hand, we definitely suffer from, especially in the front end, but I think this is pretty universal, the to-do app syndrome, where something shows well in a to-do app, then we think that's going to be the right framework for me.
Oh, I see.
But go and build a 50,000-line program out of it, and all of a sudden, it's an entirely different story.
Okay, and the jury's still out on the 50,000-line program for Aurelia, which
Yeah.
is still an alpha, we should point out. It's not it's not nearly baked yet.
Right. Right. So we've seen 50,000-line programs in some of the other big frameworks now, and people have experience. And, of course, what we do find, just like we find in any other program, once you build something big, what you see is the warts. And so people start talking about the warts.
Right.
And so you got to take those things with a grain of salt, too. Everybody's complaining about this or that and building a big app in this particular framework. But no framework is perfect.
Yeah. I want people to come away watching this video thinking about how to better evaluate, how to better learn frameworks. So did you find that as you learn more frameworks that you were the fact that you had learned one helped you to learn the next one of those principles over and over again?
Yeah, absolutely. When I started playing around with Knockout years ago, the two-way binding thing came back around in Angular 2. So once I started playing around with Angular 2, the familiarity from Knockout really helped out.
Okay, so you had been through that pain one time, the first time.
Yep. Strangely enough, playing around with doing the development that I did in Backbone actually helped me a lot when learning React. Even though they are fundamentally different frameworks, they have a lot of similar concepts for letting you render at the time that you want to render.
Let me ask you this. What are the key factors, the biggest factors people should look for when they're choosing a front-end framework?
Well, as I mentioned before, I think popularity matters. And not for the fact that just because it's popular means it's good, or just because everybody's jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
But if there's a lot of people that know a framework, then you know that you can get your problem solved, or somebody's likely encountered the same problem you're going to have.
Yep.
So I think that's important.
So you can find questions on Stack Overflow. You can find blog posts.
Yeah. Generally.
And they're more likely to be fixed more quickly if people are out talking about them.
Right.
There's a lot of users.
Generally, a framework should be testable. All current frameworks today seem to be fairly testable.
Okay. So maybe separation of concerns seems to be the biggest key to making it testable.
Which is a funny point. Like, if you look at React, they brought the HTML into the JavaScript, which a lot of people said, you're not separating the concerns anymore.
Hmm.
And it's a bit of an argument. You could say, you're not separating the concerns because you got your view in there with your controller.
Okay.
The React people say, no, we're rethinking this. The concern's actually the same, and that is rendering out to the front end. So they have this idea that rendering to your HTML is a function. Your data goes into that function and out comes HTML. And so the rendering function and the HTML
that
themselves
is an
are
atomic
part of that.
Operation.
A single atomic operation.
Okay. Yeah, I actually talked to Corey House earlier this week about React.
Yeah.
And he had some
smart things
to say
about
that.
Smart guy, great guy.
I agree, totally agree.
Yeah.
What else?
Beyond that, I think it should be interesting to you. because if you pick a framework that isn't interesting to you, like if you come from a Rails background, Ember should probably be pretty interesting. It's built by Yehuda Katz. They use, they're a little bit of inspired by some of the Rails things. So if you really like Rails and you come from that background, it's going to feel familiar, but it probably will be interesting to you because it's built by somebody that you know and respect. So I think a framework should definitely be interesting to you and to your team. Picking something that's not interesting is just a recipe for burnout and people leaving. And if you're excited and you want to learn it, it's going to make a big difference. So pick something that seems cool. If Aurelia seems cool, pick Aurelia. If React seems cool, pick React.
I'm at the beginning edge of my journey. I just want to learn. I'm not building the 50,000 line app. I want to learn. I want to share the knowledge. I speak at a lot of conferences. I've got my first 101 Angular app. Which framework should I pick up next?
After Angular, Ember's really close to Angular.
Okay.
As far as feature set, not necessarily implementation, but as far as feature set goes, they're like big, full-featured frameworks.
So because the learning curve would be a little smaller step, that might be a nice
one. Yeah, so that one might be a nice one to go with next. To look at Knockout or Backbone, you kind of are taking a little bit of a step backwards because they're smaller, they do a lot less, and they're older. So they're not using techniques and thought processes that are current day. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend going to those.
It's funny you say older and current. We're only talking a couple of years.
Yeah, it really is. I would choose between Ember and React. React has some really novel ideas.
Okay.
If you've ever done functional programming, then React has a lot of familiarity there. But it's got a lot of new novel ideas that we haven't seen much in the front end world. So it's almost like learning an entirely new language. I think that's very cool. So if it wasn't Ember, it would be React for me.
All right.
And then last, Aurelia. Aurelia is still on the bleeding edge, so it might be fun to play with.
People are talking about it a lot.
People are talking about it a lot, but we're still waiting for that ramp up to happen.
Okay. What's your next portal site course?
Webpack is coming out, and then Firebase after that.
Firebase is what?
Firebase fundamentals, just covering the basics of Firebase, which is lets you store data online without having to write your own back end. Very cool product.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see those guys at hackathons a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a really cool product.
Joe, thank you so much.
Thank you. One of my goals has always been to use technology to build friends that would never make fun of me for how much of a geek I am. And I hope that someday I'd be able to do that.